Thank you. The first reading is recorded in the book of Proverbs, the second chapter, beginning at verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is recorded in the Apostle Paul's second letter to Timothy in the third chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thanks be to God.
Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Our dear Lord Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, we thank you for willingly laying down your life for us, your sheep. We thank you also for the opportunity to learn your voice through the study of your holy word. We pray now that you would bless these young sheep as they go forward in their life, that they may continually in faith follow your voice throughout their life, until you lead them to the green pastures of heaven. We pray it all in your saving name. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God's grace, his kindness, and compassion are yours to be found only in this Savior. Amen. The text for our sermon this evening is taken from the 20th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning at the 25th verse, and let us rise to hear these words of our Lord. Jesus called his disciples together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A box about the size of this pulpit had been buried in a very shallow grave, you might say, somewhere out near the Everglades in South Florida. Inside huddled a little 10-year-old girl who had been kidnapped. There were two tubes that entered that box, one for air and the other for her kidnappers to drop food to her. She was the granddaughter of a very powerful and wealthy oil tycoon, and she had now been taken and being held for ransom. Was she worth to her family the money they were going to have to scrape together? Was that little girl's life worth it? What value did her life have to her family? Well, of course, they rushed as quickly as they could to put together the money that they could find, millions of dollars. Turned out that as the money was delivered, police tracked it and were able to catch the kidnappers and release that little girl from her living grave. As you graduate tomorrow, how valuable are you? What value is there on you and on your head? And I don't mean how much money you may have right now, because that value may not be very much. And I don't even mean what potential value you may have as far as what you might attain someday in life. But how much value or importance do you represent? When I ask that question, you probably have to think to yourself another question. Well, to whom? To whom are you talking about when it comes to the value that I may have? Well, the first question I have for you tonight is this. How valuable are you to God? Listen to Jesus' words again. The Son of Man, speaking about himself, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. There's that ransom word again. Think of it, that because of our sinfulness and our wickedness that everybody in this sanctuary certainly possesses, certainly I do too, the very sin that would prevent us from ever standing in God's favor and ever having any shot at going to heaven someday, but because of that sinfulness, our Lord Jesus was willing to let himself come into this world and be sacrificed, to be slaughtered on the cross, so that we, by faith in him, could not only have our sins forgiven, but be rescued out of our little graves and ultimately have the glory of heaven in front of us. How amazing to think that God himself, the Son of God, not only was willing to scrape together the cost, the value on your head to claim you for heaven, but he was even willing to be the cost and to be the ransom. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Now you talk to parents who maybe have a lot of stuff and cars and houses and savings accounts and retirement and so on. But you talk to a parent who has any kind of a conscience and ask them if they'd be willing to give all of that up for the sake of their child. How much higher of a value can the Almighty, Eternal, and Holy God in the heavens place on your heads than to give up his Son, that he himself would go and feel hell so you'd never, ever, ever have to know what that feels like. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Now, we hear that phrase so often as Christians that it almost just, we don't think about it. To think about that, that the shepherd considers one of the lambs and one of his sheep so important and so valuable that he would let himself be torn apart by the lion to save it. So how valuable are you to God? He who did not spare his own son, but graciously gave him up for us all, he loves you so great. That's how intensely your God in the heavens wanted you to get to enjoy having dinner with the angels and the saints someday. That's pretty amazing. So, what value do you have to God? All you have to do is look at the cross and to reflect on just what great value God has placed on your head. Now, the second question is just as important, at least as far as our earthly life. How valuable are you to other people and in the lives of other people? Where do you define and how will you define greatness in your life? Listen to what your Lord says to you. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. So Jesus takes what we would normally naturally think of in this world as far as what greatness is and how to achieve greatness, and he just flips it entirely on its head. One of the church fathers said, "The pyramid is resting upon its apex." He has inverted the world's thinking, flipped it upside down. The world defines greatness by what you gain. Heaven defines greatness by what you give, knowing what you've been given already so freely by God. The world defines greatness by how far you rise above the inferior people in this world. Heaven defines greatness by how you are willing to stoop down low to help the inferior in this world. The world defines greatness as a race to the top. Heaven defines greatness as a willingness to reach down and serve even the bottom. The world measures greatness in wealth and power and influence, but heaven measures greatness by how we use all of those gifts in service to others. Now, even we who have been blessed to know Christ and blessed to know what his great sacrifice means for us and have been instructed by him, we still, because of our sinful nature, can be drawn back to thinking the way the world does about greatness. The context of our very text this evening demonstrates that. Two of Jesus' most inner circle disciples, their mother, had come to approach him right before this little speech that he gives to his disciples to ask if her sons could receive prominence in his kingdom. A Norwegian bishop years ago in the 1800s named Bishop Locke said this: "If you want to become great, try to become least, not in pretend lowliness, but in your heart, inwardly and truly. Outwardly in your earthly situation, be what God has made you, whether honored or forgotten." A number of years ago, I remember seeing an interview with a boss up some large company up in the Twin Cities. And he was being asked about how he goes through job interviews with people, something that maybe is on your mind. Well, you might learn a lesson from this. And he was talking about things that he observes and watches for when he hires people. And he said he tried to always make sure to take them out to lunch during the interview so that he could observe how they treated the waitresses, because that said to him something about the character of the individual. Write that one down. Years ago, a young man happened to pass away in a congregation I had once served. And at his funeral, he was probably only my age or so, at his funeral, a young woman who happened to be a waitress in that city and apparently waited on him a couple times a week came to specifically hunt down his dad and to tell him that his son had always treated her with such great kindness and dignity and respect, which she said she rarely saw in the business community. His dad told me later on that meant more to me than all of my son's earthly achievements, which were pretty impressive. I graduated Bethany College in 1978, a little bit after the Civil War. Just wanted to see if you're listening. And many of my classmates went on to a variety of different positions and occupations and situations in life. Many of them today are doing things that were completely unexpected of us when we sat in these very chairs years ago. Not these very chairs, but we sat in your seat years ago. Probably many of them would laugh today to find out that I'm the chaplain here. Enough about that. It's exciting for all of you to look forward in your lives and to think about what paths does God have laid out ahead of you? Where exactly will your life take you? How long will the Lord let you live in this world? I've already lost, in my somewhat young age, a number of classmates from my class to an early grave. But where might God take some of you? What exciting and interesting things will you get involved in? What things might there be out there in front of you that you aren't even aware of right now? What occupation, what family might you be raising that you haven't even dreamed of? In your various vocations in life, wherever God may choose to send you and place you, seek out the various aspects of your vocations and find the part that serves your fellow man, and make that the part that your heart latches onto. Make that the part and the thing that you want to really do. You're going to get paid for doing it probably too, but don't let your motivation be primarily money or power or advancement or honor or prestige. If those things come, fine, but keep your heart on the service. Keep your heart on the part where you serve others in the same way Christ has served you. When the Son of God considered his mission to come down into this world to rescue you and me so that we could go to heaven someday, he didn't ask himself, "So what's in this for me?" Instead, he asked himself, "How can I be in this for others?" When we adopt this same attitude in our treatment of others and in our vocations and positions in life, it's like taking a shadow of our Lord's cross with us everywhere we go. Now, this doesn't imply having to turn down promotions or increases in earthly possessions or positions, should those things come. But it rather has to do with where is your heart? What is going to matter to you in your heart? Some of you here today may someday be heading up large companies or rising up to some very high positions. Who knows? May seem hard to believe right now, but it can happen. Listen to what Luther said. He always has a way of cutting right down to the chase for the common man. Don't consider other people like geese. Don't consider other people like geese. The better and the higher and the more honorable the station of life is, which a man occupies, the more diligently should he see to it that he may advise, assist, and encourage others. When you take a servant's heart, knowing what the Lord's servant has done for you, when you take a servant's heart out into your life and into your various callings in life, God also promises that he will attach blessings to that in some way, shape, or form. If you think about people that you know in your life, who are Christ-centered, devoted to him, and who truly have a servant's heart as far as how they treat people, they are usually pretty happy people. God finds a way to bring blessing to them. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So how valuable are you to God? How valuable are you to God? And knowing of this great value, how valuable are you now to your fellow man. Amen.
and in the end of the world. Abide with us with your grace and goodness, with your holy word and sacrament, with your strength and blessing. Abide with us when the night of affliction and temptation comes upon us, the night of fear and despair, when death shall come. Abide with us and with all the faithful through time and eternity.
Please be seated. As president of Bethany, I would like to personally thank you for joining us this evening for worshiping our Lord. It is no mere accident or some shallow tradition that we gather here tonight around God's Word. It speaks to the very core of everything we do here on this campus. I want to thank Chaplain Molstead for his message this evening, for reminding us of what the Good Shepherd has done for us and how he would like to treat those around us. And for Professor Tigan leading us in worship this evening. I'd also like to thank Professors DeGarmo, Fredrickson, Marzoff, and our choirs for sharing with us their tremendous talents and to enrich this worship service here for us. Tomorrow's a big day. An awful lot of time, energy, effort has gone into that. But there's an awful lot that went on before that, a tremendous amount of support, encouragement, and in some cases even significant sacrifice by those around you, family, friends, professors. And I would encourage you before tomorrow's over that you think about that and to thank those who have made it possible for you to be here and to get to this point. And now finally, I'd like to invite all of you to join us for a reception in Hunzi Hall to congratulate the soon-to-be graduates tomorrow. Thank you.